This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number three, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. We are also brought to you by this hour number three, Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And when it's hour number three, Bart, what does that mean?
The power hour.
Still not getting it. Like,
it was close. It was close, though.
That was pretty good.
I think it's like right underneath you got to hit center mass.
Like, it's just there's something about it that was not the crack of the bat that I mean, the other day, that was pretty special. Yeah. Like, that was just crisp.
It's like your first evade everything. You'll never be able to duplicate it, but you'll chase it forever.
Damn. That's frustrating. Well, for the ninth time in the history of the sport and the first time in a quarter century, Major League Baseball has entered into a work stoppage. The players were locked out last night at 11:59 p.m. And
so basically what you're saying, if you left something in your locker, like, oh, I need it.
Doors closed.
Come on, man.
Doors closed. Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, read a statement and said the lockout is the best mechanism to protect the 2022 season. He said, despite the league's best efforts to make a deal with the Players Association, we were unable to extend our 26-year-long history of labor peace and come to an agreement with the MLBPA before the current CBA expired. Therefore, we've been forced to commence a lockout of Major League players effective 12:01 a.m. Eastern on December 2nd. So with that in mind, no business can be conducted. So if free agents out there haven't signed, they remain unsigned. Trades, anything, nothing can happen.
So are we going to have
And now we have spring training that could be hanging in the balance because what's being suggested by those who cover the sport, that this could last a little while.
Everybody should go up and get paid and go over to Japan and sign with somebody else.
You don't make nearly as much money.
What?
No.
You know the inflation on American dollar right now?
Do you remember last year when there was the pandemic and there were some players that tried to go over play in Korea because they were playing in Korea. You remember that?
Yeah, don't we
have – ESPN actually picked up Korean games.
I know. Don't we have our boy over there?
Who's our boy?
Your boy with the UCL thing. Tanaka. Ain't he over there doing his thug dizzle? You don't think he making some money? I mean, you want to stay fresh. You want to stay sharp, right?
Yes.
So go over to Japan. We can't go to Cuba.
All right, but that's fine for players. See, you take that player approach of like, you know, well, you can make your money. You just go somewhere else and play. But when you're a fan of a sport.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, all right, so spring training. I mean, look. What happens when spring training opens is you feel like we got through the winter. There's this sense of hope, right? I don't know. There's something about spring training that does lift your spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Late February when it starts to get real and you feel like, all right, we got through the winter. Right now, it's so early. We just got through Thanksgiving. The holiday season's upon us. The tree just got lit last night at Rockefeller. Like, there's so much optimism and happiness. It's not until you get into those dog days of January where you need baseball to lift your spirits. Mm-hmm. And that might not be there. And so I ask, and we've asked throughout the show, like, how you feel about it. We are offering you the opportunity to say Dear Baseball and call in 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we're going to get to those calls in a moment. We got some great tweets on them as well, so some people who couldn't call in. But you can just sense of apathy. There's really two sides to this. There's apathy, but there's people like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
I don't care. And then there's people that are just frustrated that this has to happen in a sport that has already saw itself fading as America's pastime. And, you know, not as many people are really tuning into the sport as much as it used to. Why? Well, it's a lot slower. It's a lot less exciting than it used to be. There's a lot of players. I never even heard of these guys. These pitchers you keep bringing in. I don't know who this guy is, who that guy is.
But the casual fan has changed too. As society as a whole, we need to be entertained every second. That's why they still show the game and show the commercial split screen, right? Our attention span has shortened.
Well, remember, they called it American pastime because – on a weekend, you have anything to do.
So you got to pass it.
So it's like, oh, let's go to the ball game, sit around for 3 hours and have a hot dog and some peanuts and watch the ball players.
And socialize.
And socialize. Like, it was, what else are we doing?
Now I
got plenty to do. I got to
go binge watch Netflix, or I got to go binge watch Hulu.
Exactly.
I got to go do something. I got the game.
I got stuff to do.
Triller. I got Snoop over there breaking down boxing, talking about cuz.
That's the thing. And that's the problem also, is that there's so much more competition for the sport's time that I don't have, like, time to pass. I got to get it done. Like, I need it within 2 hours. I got to sit down and know this game's going to be over in 2 hours, and therefore I can budget my time better. But baseball is going to, while you have a work stoppage, you also work on some things that you could do to improve the sport. We've talked about them for a while. And Manfred has actually talked about it, too. He's even talked about trying to implement some of them. And one of them is expanding the playoff format. Right now, there's 10 teams. What if you got it to 14 teams? It's still not half the league making the playoffs, but it would engage more markets. Bob Costas, the legendary broadcaster, he doesn't like this idea at all. Now, Bart, in all due respect to Bob Costas, who's a legend, obviously, I completely disagree with this. And in fact, I find this to be just antiquated thinking. This whole notion of the sanctity of the 162-game season, first of all, let's all agree, it's too long. They're never going to cut it down because that's a loss of revenue. It's not going to happen.
Yep.
But we can all agree today, in the modern times, this is too long of a damn season. Too many games. Too much. Too easy for me to tune out. But you know what else? You want to talk about the value of a season. How valuable was the season in September? How valuable was the last 20 games to at least 10 teams that knew they had no shot at making the playoffs?
Exactly.
So you're playing good teams, but you already have pulled the plug. So you, what are you doing at this point? Oh, we're playing spoiler. To hell with that. You're bringing up young players. You want to see what they can do.
Yep.
All that going on. Like, there is no value to 162 games. There's no value to it if more than half your league is already done and we're in August. So the idea of value to me, like, it's superficial. So, okay, so the really good teams battle each other, and for the win of the division, it's very important. Well, you still have to make it important to do that. In fact, they want to. They want the division leader to be able to pick who their first-round opponent would be.
Yeah.
That would be special. A little drama.
No, that's disrespectful.
We're calling you out.
Tampa Bay Rays. Come on, Yankees.
Hey, let's go, Yankees, because you can't beat us.
I like how you die, boy.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, I've heard this argument so many times from baseball purists and baseball experts and baseball people. And I just find it to be, to me, a complete contradiction. How do you value a 162-game season if more than half of your league already knows by August we're not making the playoffs?
We're sellers. They sell.
So what value is it to them?
It's like trading spaces.
Yeah.
Sell. Right? And
you get what I'm saying, right?
And to your point, right? It's like basketball, right? We had the teams tanking, teams that was trying to get, you know, first-round draft picks and stuff like that, and you change the competitive balance. And you put the play-in tournament in.
You do the 7-10, and now two-thirds of your league plays for something.
Unless people trade. They're like, well, maybe we can go. Maybe we can get hot. Let's see what we can do.
Right.
It's good for our fans.
Let's get to 10, because even though we're a young team and we're rebuilding, we can get that 10. We're playing in at least one meaningful game, and our young players get the benefit of that, and our fans, we get that. And that also, to me, as a GM or a coach, can sell to my owner, hey, look, we made a postseason.
Yeah.
Like at least it's that. So this whole idea that, oh, well, now the season doesn't mean anything because everybody makes the playoffs. No, it means there's something to play for.
And baseball is that one sport that if you get in, like, you're only as hot as your pitcher.
Ask the Atlanta Braves.
Right. You get in.
Their season was over.
Yeah, it was done. Finito.
Right.
Made a couple of trades for some people that wasn't even, like, what was it, the kid that they got that was injured when they got him and he got healthy. He became one of the stars.
Hey, everybody hurt.
Yeah, I know. I just threw a hand grenade.
You
right
did.
There.
You got me because I'm drawing a blank. But anyways, yes, that's a great example of a team that
thought it was done.
Thought they were done. And now they stayed with it instead of blowing it up, and that's again what they decided to do.
They lost their best player,
but not everybody does what they did, which is stick with it, make trades like they did, and try to become more competitive. So, anyways, with that in mind, your Dear Baseball 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Let's go to Chris in Missouri. Chris.
Dear Baseball.
Yes. Yeah, I have. Go ahead.
Dear Baseball, I don't want to miss a second of Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina's last season. I don't want to miss the playoffs. I don't want to miss the 5 defensive gold gloves, those players, the rivalries between the Cubs and the Brewers, the new contracts that players have gotten. This was the most exciting off season ever and it's just basically done. And there needs to be a restructuring of how they do baseball because they're losing fans. They've been losing fans. The games are too long. Mm-hmm. And on top of the games being too long, you know, there's players that just don't get paid ever. They won't because of how everything's set up. And this is kind of the first time I've ever been on this where I'm like torn because – you know, there's the support staff. Those people need to get paid more because inflation, like you guys mentioned. And there's just a whole bunch that they need to redo arbitration with players. Like, they're locked up forever and stuck on a team. And that's just not fair. And I'm just waiting for you guys' response.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. And you could tell a St. Louis Cardinals fan. And those, that's one of the great baseball markets that we still have in this country. Tim in Massachusetts. Tim.
Tim from Massachusetts. And, I want to say, dear baseball, I'm a longtime New York Mets fan. Yes, I live in Massachusetts, but I was born and raised in Manhattan, so that's why I'm a Mets fan. But I want to say that the players and the owners need to settle this thing quickly because I remember 94 and when there was no baseball season, mm-hmm. and the only thing that saved baseball was Cal Ripken's streak. What's going to save it now?
That's a great point, Tim. And also the, you know, the juiced up home run derby and everything else that happened in 98, the Yankees having a dynasty and all that, that – at least woke it up.
Well, and then they continue with the live ball. Like, you know what I mean? That ball hopping out.
Whatever it is, you're going to need something because, right, after 94, the sport was never the same again. Ryan's in Connecticut. Ryan.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, first of all, just as a driver for a living, I really appreciate the quality show you guys put on every day. Really love you guys.
Thanks, man.
But in regards to the baseball, it really comes down for me two words, minimum payroll. You have a third of the league that is open hand slapping their fans every single year with the amount that they spend and the amount that they don't retain their star players that are homegrown. It's a disgrace. It needs to change.
Pittsburgh.
Thanks, guys.
Everybody but the Rays, right? Because they snail by. Everybody, you need some money? Bye. They just win. Yeah,
the Rays still win despite the fact that right now Max Scherzer will make – what would you say, like 70% of their payroll.
Exactly.
You know, and Max Scherzer is going to make more in 1 year than three major league franchises. So, yeah, I mean, that's
football,
also an issue.
Well, in football, we have a minimum, 89% of the salary cap. They need to have some type of minimum. The hard thing is that you don't know. So I guess you got to take the median of what the value of each team is or what the revenue is. So that means you have to kind of go through some through their data about what most teams are making, TV deals, stuff like that, and set a floor. You got to set a floor, but you can't set
there
a ceiling.
There are owners that are going to claim their market. Yeah, like, that's what I hate, though, is when you start crying poor and all that stuff. But if you're Tampa, you go, well, we can do it. We just do it right. Tim is in Florida. Tim.
Dear baseball, I won't miss you at all. The games are way too long. You need to get rid of the DH. You need a pitch clock. And if it's taken too long, you should penalize the pitcher with a ball. And if the hitter doesn't hit quick enough or get in the box, he should get an automatic strike. You need to put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. I have Major League – I have football, hockey, basketball, even soccer coming up, and the XFL and USFL are coming, so we can forget all about baseball as far as I'm concerned. And Sheeman and Shepard and Chris behind the glass rule.
Do you have cornhole? Do you watch cornhole, competitive cornhole? Can they take potentially cornhole take over baseball?
It just shows you that you absolutely have many things that you can do. Let's go to Greg in Oklahoma. Greg.
Hon, Bart, I've been waiting for this moment a very long time.
What up?
Fellas, baseball. They're not negotiating salaries or how much we can make and all this. They're negotiating how much can we get from our fans? How much can we take out of their pockets to make ourselves a profit? A player making $43 million a year, outrageous. Billionaires making bukus of money. All they're doing is negotiating how much can we get from our fans. And the fans just need to wake up and say, you know what, all this $150 for a jersey for somebody that's not going to be there for 2 or 3 years down the road, forget about it. I'm not paying it. Talking about take me out to the baseball game. I got paid $50 just to park at a baseball game. Give me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. That's already right there, $25. And then the stands, you look at the stands, they're like LeBron's receding hairline. You just got to look far back just to see a full section. And then even that is a little patchy. So baseball.
You got to say that's a little Kevin Durant.
I'm getting ghost.
You got to say that's a little Kevin Durant. Patchy.
Well done, Greg. Well done. You know, it's funny. Greg just took Take Me Out to the Ball Game and basically told you just how much that song now costs.
He's like, hold on.
Take Me Out to the Ball
Game. I can't afford that LP.
$50 parking. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. That's another $25.
Yeah, like, hold up. Peanuts? Peanuts?
I don't care if I ever get back. Yeah, well, it's going to be a while.
Yeah. We're going to go to a game once a year. That's your birthday and Christmas present.
Yeah. Root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. In Pittsburgh, well.
Yeah, meh. What time is Steelers playing?
It's 1-2-3 strikes, you're out. Unless, well, it's not that fast. It's usually one and then step out of the box, fix your gloves, fix your cleats.
Yo, that drives me crazy, man.
Like, two.
If you don't swing.
Step out of the box. Like fix
swing,
your gloves.
You swing, have a strike or a foul ball, you got to change your gloves. Like, your gloves are too big then. Like, if you got to restrap and they're too big, they should be damn near painted on. I don't get it, man. Like, it's crazy that they. I mean, and I forgot the dude that he does this little thing. I think from the man. He does it three times. Like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a tick. No.
Routine,
baby. It's routine.
Spit.
Yeah.
Hit the cleat.
Right.
Kick it together. Dig in.
Right. Jeff Hornacek at a free throw line used to have a routine, and he would blow a kiss.
No.
Right. Remember that?
He'd wipe his face.
Oh, no. He would. Like, who would blow the kiss? Somebody would blow a kiss. Yeah. He would wipe his side. That was telling his kids he loved them. Then it was Karl Malone, right? It would take forever.
Mama say nam sign the makusa. Mama say nam sign the makusa.
Like, it's everybody had a routine, but when Giannis Antetokounmpo did what he did last year, and people were mocking him by counting.
Yeah,
I want. That's why when baseball does come back, baseball fans, when you get one of these guys, it's human rain delay.
Yeah,
like people should just start counting.
Like
let's go.
And it's Sonny Gray.
Let's go. Ain't Sonny get in the box.
Ain't Sonny Gray like the slowest pitcher?
There's a lot of guys.
I think Sonny Gray is like they.
That's what it's got to be about.
But I like the idea. I like the idea. If the clock goes down, then that's a strike. And you know what I mean. And also that's a ball, right? The clock don't go. Ball. Strike.
Something.
Ball.
Just something. But you know, I doubt they'll ever get to that.
That'd be
dope. They
got to
figure out everything
ball.
Else. Now, the one thing I'll say is the money thing. I don't begrudge anybody to make money. Make what you are worth.
Yeah, $43 million for sure. Mahomes.
Cohen's saying, you know what, you're worth that to us as a franchise, well, okay, make it.
Isn't DeBrody making $42 million?
I mean, that's what, right, 47 next year. No, but seriously, like I've never begrudged money.
Yeah.
If that's what they're willing to pay you, that means they can afford to.
Yeah.
They ain't paying you what they can't afford to pay you.
Yeah.
It's not like Steve Cohen's going to give this money like, and then sit in a meeting and go, hey, my payroll's out of control. Yeah. I can't even pay these guys.
Yeah,
like,
you're not doing
that.
We're not paying Dom. Dom's getting no
Everybody understand, this is not about the high-priced players. This lockout, this debate is about the middle class and how there's just so many players and teams can control these guys because you're a dime a dozen. I can pay this guy less. He's willing to take that. And so off you go. And so for players in the middle class, you're not going to make as much. It's like life. Middle class always gets screwed.
Yep.
It's really what it is. And that's what I think the union's trying to protect.
So baseball
and the owners
is a
are saying,
microcosm of
no,
life.
It really is in this sense.
Meh.
All right. Real quick here, despite having a neck strain and some concerns about whether Daniel Jones will play Sunday against the Dolphins, he's practiced again today, and he's going to play. But real quick here, if you're Daniel Jones, I feel like this. If I'm not sure about my status, Joe Judge's status, Dave Gettleman's status when it comes to next season, if I could play, I'm playing.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I have to play right now.
I have to.
Because I don't know if I'm going to be part of the plan next year.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, Molina is what, 55,000 years old? Molina. No, I'm going back to what that guy said about how he wants to see Molina's last
season.
Oh,
my God. You're like Molina. I'm like, Molina?
Yeah, I'm
yeah you mean the Cardinals. Yes.
That's like crazy, man. Like when you think about
it. He's been in the league a long time.
And what a way if you go
they
out
love
with
him there.
If they go out with a, you know, this is supposed to be a swan song.
Yeah. Well, they're going to play. I can't imagine they'll lose a whole year like they did. In 94, you lost the World Series because it's strike that happened during the season.
Yeah, but you might
this
lose.
This is a little different.
You're going to lose part of the season.
You will.
Season.
Yeah, no, you certainly will. All right, well, keep your calls going on the baseball stuff because that's always a lot of fun. But coming up, so how do we wager the College Football Conference Championship games this weekend? Very important games this weekend. Huge. In fact, some of them need to be blowouts.
Have they been flexed?
And we
I want
shall,
them all flexed.
You ask me these questions all the time just as we're going to break. Well, we're going to our expert next to give us insight on what we should do about betting on the conference championship games. But first, I want to tell you that you should join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. A new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. The 10-part podcast examines improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. We got your calls and more coming up next. Spartan Hunt, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. We go now to the Goodyear Hotline, as we do each week. Our good friend Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager joins us right now. Doug, how we doing?
Doing well, fellas. Obviously, the college season's winding down. Still plenty of money-making opportunities. But
yes!
Not quite the full card.
No.
But we still got plenty of NFL.
But you're going to get a lot of action, I think, right, this weekend, because a lot of
attention. I might get involved in this action this week. I don't gamble for anything, but I'm telling you, I'm a Michigan man, and we did some fact-finding about Amari Toomer. I don't know if he's been the truth-teller as he's been going. But John Harbaugh, listen, do you think – I mean, this is, to me – it would be more so Michigan for them to lose to Iowa. Like,
I was just about to say, you know, all the Michigan fans pumping out their chests and all that. They still got another game to go. But they did exercise some demons for sure.
Yeah. What do you see there? How about they'll just go right to that game right now, Big Ten? What do you see happening in that game? What do you've got, and what's the play?
Michigan's defense should be outstanding against this limited offense for Iowa, right? They always seem to find a way. And, like, you hear the, what if they – no turnovers? It's like, well, but that's what Iowa does. All they do is create turnovers in short field. So I'm kind of done fading this Hawkeyes team. They've been outstanding all season, ATS. Obviously, the Nebraska comeback was remarkable. Kind of fluky at times, but that's just what the Hawkeyes do. I think it's too many points. If I had to play it, I would take the 11 with Iowa.
Wow. Okay. We start there. So that should be a very interesting game
to.
Just based on that. Right. If you had to, but you're staying away from the game is what you're saying, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Now,
physical on physical right there.
Man. Yeah.
Like, it's different when you built the same.
It's true. But how about this other game? This will be physical on physical too. Alabama, Georgia. And another critical game for Alabama. And it's amazing to think, and I know you've talked about this ad nauseum, Doug. Alabama, an underdog for the first time in 92 games. But because they're a desperate team, and Georgia, their defense is so damn good. It's like historic. Their defense is generational right now for Georgia. Does Alabama have a chance as an underdog here? Would you even want to get involved in this game?
Anytime you have Nick Saban, you have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirby Smart, let's face it, has kind of wet down his leg a few times in these big games. Now, he's an excellent coach. Obviously, this Georgia team is the best team in the country. But remember, there's a fake punt that was ill-advised a couple years ago in the SEC title game. There's a few times that Saban has had his number, making adjustment. We all know Tua started the second half of the national title game. Georgia had a win in its grasp. So I would not be shocked if Alabama wins this game outright. Now, I think the Tide have some problems, and there's a reason Georgia's favored. The number does seem high at 6.5, but you're not going to make a lot of money betting against Nick Saban, and I say that about Belichick as well.
Uh-huh.
Even though I like the Bills this week, I would play the under. I would play under 49.5. Georgia's not going to mess around. They're going to lean on that defense. Saban's going to play conservatively to a certain extent. I just like this game under 49.5. I don't think Bama has really comprehends how good this Georgia defense is. And I think Alabama's D is going to show up as well.
That's what I was going to talk to you about, was not even the spread, but the over-under. And I figure the under's got to be the play here, right, in this game. And you absolutely convinced me on that one. All right, let's get to the NFL then, because you brought it up. Let's go right to Monday night in what's one of the huge games now in December, Patriots and the Bills. And the Pats, less than a field goal underdog. What are they, 2.5 is it sitting right now?
Right, 2.5.
And you like the Bills.
I do. So the Patriots' signature over the years is racking up wins and not having the flat spot, the letdown spot, where they just have those brain cramps, like we saw a couple weeks ago with the Ravens at Miami on Thursday night. We don't ever get that from New England. They're robotic. They're on to Cincinnati. They're just methodical, and they accumulate wins against bad teams and also mediocre teams. And we've seen this during this six-game run. Short week against Atlanta. Guess which team showed up? Patriots. Mm-hmm. Crisp. And then beating up these bad teams. And the Titans game was actually a lot closer, but turnovers.
Yeah.
So they're on a six-game winning cover streak. Now, the Chargers win, I will put in a different category, but they only won by 3. My point is, I don't think this team is that elite. And Mac Jones' road record, or road numbers, 15 points fewer in QBR, 5 road games, I think 3 touchdowns, 3 picks, very pedestrian numbers. It's going to be a hostile environment at the Ralph. I trust the Bills, not implicitly like I did last year. We all saw what happened in Jacksonville when you lose 9-6, which is just ridiculous. But I think in that environment, I think a little bit of a market correction on this Patriots kind of power rating. I like the Bills -2.5.
Can I take us off the tracks for just a second? Like,
what would be different about that?
because I'm more interested in the MVP odds, right? Because I'm looking at the MVP odds, and it's looking like now
the conversation
right now,
changes week to week.
It changes week to week, and it's looked like it's right now. It's Tom Brady, and probably Aaron Rodgers. And I think Lamar Jackson can have a lot to be said, especially if they have the best record in the AFC. But I want to know if smart money would be if Jonathan Taylor snaps off and goes over 2,000. Could we see something when, you know, Brady's been flawed? Rodgers got spanked by New Orleans. And I know that was week one, but he's only thrown for like 160 more yards than Action Jackson.
Would Bart put on Jonathan Taylor?
What
Bart's saying
I'm trying to hit the lottery.
If I got some extra cash laying around and if I put it on Jonathan Taylor, is that a pretty good bet?
Yeah, so I write a column that posts every Tuesday on assessing the futures market, Super Bowl odds and also MVP odds and then a few other markets here and there. So I had a beefy part of this column this week on the MVP, kind of buying and selling candidates. I disregarded Taylor. A week ago, I said, no chance. I need at least 35-1 to even think about it. Running backs just don't win this award. 13 of the last 14 have been quarterbacks. Yeah. Adrian Peterson, when he broke the record and came off the surgery, then he got buzzed and it just worked out that well. Now, if Taylor has 5 touchdown performances again, then we can revisit. I just don't think he'll get the notoriety. And I just don't think a running back's going to win this award, like, basically ever again. It has to be just an absolutely anomaly.
So you said it would have to be
anomaly
Derrick
for
Henry.
It to happen.
It would have had to be King Henry continuing on before he get hurt.
Yeah, if Derrick Henry doesn't get hurt, I don't think
carrying
he's,
the Titans to, like, the one seed or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's just – it's 9 of the last – excuse me, let me just think about this. 11 of the last 13 have been 1 or 2 seed quarterbacks. Mm. And the other 2 were Peyton Manning, and he just was outstanding numbers as, like, a 4 seed or something. So – it's going to be a 1 or 2 seed. Now, to your point, you know, this time last year was between Mahomes and Rodgers, right? We're in December, home stretch, figuratively. But this race is wide open. There's like 7 guys that can win it. And yes, Lamar Jackson could. Now, he's only 14-1, but they have a really tough schedule. They're on the road against Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. Also, home games of the Packers, Rams, and Steelers. Mm. So those are 6 really tough games. So I just don't think an inconsistent team like Baltimore is going to execute. Now, if he pulls the rabbit out of that, great, then he'll deserve it. But I just think there's other bets to make. Now, Dak, you know, has missed a couple games. He can certainly be in the mix. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think Josh Allen, but it's only +550. I think he's the guy you may want to kind of buy low on because they do kind of have an easier schedule. If they can take care of the Patriots at home, they'll get them again in Foxborough, and then they have maybe an MVP showdown against Tampa Bay. But it's still only 550. I mean, I even thought about Derek Carr at 75-1 or Burrow at 40. I didn't pull any of those triggers. There's been better value throughout the year, but to your guys' point, it is wide open.
Yeah, that's been the story, really. Each week we come up with a different name that could be the guy that wins it. Doug Kazarian joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so you mentioned the Cowboys. You mentioned Dak. We do have the game tonight. Cowboys and the Saints. It's Taysom Hill at quarterback. The spread is still under 7, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's under 7, but it's come up from 4.5 with the Alvin Kamara news and Cooper and things like that. So basically, there's non-quarterbacks do not move the point spread except for guys like Henry, Kamara. So Kamara being out on top of two tackles, being out on top of the Taysom Hill announcement, the number, understandably, with the public betting has gone up to 6. I can see that, and I think it's a get-right spot for Dallas, which has lost 2 straight. Mm. I think you're going to have a sense of urgency. Road teams against the spread this year have been excellent, 57% cover rate. I think the home field advantage has been exaggerated the last few years for a variety of reasons. Technology on the sidelines, road teams have more easier ways to call plays, but also just travel conditions, health as well. I just think the road sort of insurmountable edge, like the home team has just gotten too much of a deference and too much of a boost on the point spread. So I think you're seeing some money. And then the Saints have lost 4 straight. I lean to the under here. I think the Saints have played it a little too aggressively with Trevor Siemian the last few weeks. I think they're going to bring the oars in a little bit, mm-hmm. short throws, runs with Taysom Hill. And their best unit is the defensive side of the ball. So lean on that defense against the Dallas team that will have some pieces back, but not flawless. And 47 is a big number as well.
Okay. So you're believing then in the spread for the Cowboys. Cowboys are the favorite. Cowboys are the play, right?
I like the under. Most okay, so you're of going all under. Kind of okay. the options, but I understand why the lines moved up, and I would not take New Orleans plus 6 now.
Gotcha. Okay. Doug, great stuff as always. Thanks so much. It's going to be a real interesting weekend, especially on the college side of things. I'm sure you'll be busy. All the best.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me, as always.
All right, you got it. Doug Kazarian again, Daily Wager. And as he mentioned, Michigan, that Michigan-Iowa game, man, because right. you're going to get that. That's they have a big fan base, so you know they're going to get a great – everybody's believing in them. I'll put my money down, you know, Big Blue. And it's just – you just don't want that letdown game, man. Ooh.
Just like against Michigan State. It's like a letdown. Like, man, you should yeah. be better. Like, Michigan State beat the brakes off them. It's like when they go against teams that are built like them, they can't. They
the
lose
physical
their
matchup.
Yeah, they lose their advantage.
Yeah.
Right? Well, so they're like, nope, that don't work on us.
Got to win that game. God, that is as much a must win as the Ohio State game. Every game out now for Michigan becomes must win. And then the Alabama, Georgia, as Doug said, I completely agree with them. 49.5 over under, under. This is going to be a defensive battle. I mean, a scrap. Bart Scott's going to love it.
Right in the face.
Right in the face.
I want to see people teeth coming out like Darth Vader. I want to see somebody lose a tooth. Lose a tooth, I don't need no damn mouthpiece. I'm going to bite it, gnaw off with my sharp tooth.
We'll finish with your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, Knicks Bulls tonight at the Garden. How do you think Julius Randle's going to be officiated? What's coming up next? Barton on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Hey, so we've had quite the show. We had a lot of the Deer Baseball calls. We'll see if we can grab one or two before we call it a day here. But it was great to hear from fans and how they feel about this lockout. And a lot of them, it was meh. It wasn't really a lot of that, like, frustration. It was more of like, you know what? Here, I'll give you an example, Bart. We got a tweet. And the tweet, as I turn off my notifications, Lisa, she says, I really don't care about the lockout right now. If we reach Valentine's Day, the day after Super Bowl with no agreement, then I think the anger starts to set in.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to put it. I mean, right now, yeah, because it's the off season. Now, if you're a diehard fan, you love this because your team's getting better, you're spending money. You know, again, the Mets, right? A perfect example. They go out and get Max Scherzer, there should be excitement. And instead it's like, hey, everybody, here's Max. All right, we can't talk to him now.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, so, yeah, and when we get to the spring or early part or maybe late winter and it's still going on, which some people are suggesting it will, I think you're going to – that's where you get the frustration. All right, if you've missed any portion of the show, of course, as we're talking about what you've missed today, you can find all 3 hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch us on ESPN+. Plus. If you have ESPN+, Plus, you find our show and you can see what you've missed as well. So – you have that going for you, which is nice. Tonight, let's see if so the Knicks weren't fined. At least I have not seen any indication that they were fined for any of their comments about the officiating. But they do play tonight against the Bulls. I wonder if I'm Julius Randle, like Bart, I'm taking it to the rack early and often.
Every time.
Daring you not to make these calls.
No blood, no foul.
Right. If you're a ref, too, you're just like, I didn't see anything.
Why not?
What? Like, all right, well.
But. It would be funny if they call an offensive foul. Charging.
Oh, who knows? Let's take Natalie in Florida. Natalie.
Good afternoon, guys.
Natalie.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. How we doing?
Good.
Hey, Bart, you forgot about the, you know, you're talking about the movie Rudy about Notre Dame. You must have forgot about Bobby Boucher and the water boy in Louisiana.
Ah, yeah. Something's wrong with your ablab doodling up guy at Colonel Sanders.
I'm playing that foosball. Thank you.
Mom
when you weren't talking about they didn't make a movie about LSU, it really wasn't about LSU.
Bobby, you could do it all night.
I didn't know Ed Orgeron actually was in that movie. Did you know that?
That's funny. He sounds right. No, totally he was a voiceover dude.
Hey, Kayvon in Texas has a little Dear Baseball for us. Make it quick, Kayvon. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Love you guys. Love the show. Just Dear Baseball, 162 games will always be one of the reasons why you guys are dying. Point blank period.
Wow. There you go. Is it too long of a season, right?
Yeah, then the All-Star game in the middle of the season, need to break.
But they're never going to cut it down because, obviously, the money's there. James in California. James.
What's up? Good afternoon, guys. Hip-Hop Han, Koi Pond King, Bart. Just giving you guys a call again, man. Listen, with the Mets, I'm a Mets fan, and this lockout isn't bad. I don't think so. Shorten the season. We got the two big dogs now. We signed some players. We got a team. Shorten the season. They don't want to see us in the playoffs, 1-2, the GOAT and Matt.
I'll tell you
Matt.
What. You know what's
That's it, guys.
James, I'll tell you what. Thanks. Think about this. If the season last year was shortened, the Mets would have been in first place.
Yeah, they'd have been the first seed.
Right? Like they had too long of a season last year, so maybe it
is. Do you know how
I like that? See, James is like, how can I make it work for me?
Do you know how broken you got to be to have that type of thinking for the? You know what? We never really can go.
We
the whole
never
time.
Get to the finish line. So yeah. Maybe it's better if we get off to a great start. Well, although the Mets usually get off to bad starts and have to catch up, and then it's too late. So who knows if they can figure that out? But still,
man.
We appreciate all the calls on Dear Baseball. We get it. A lot of you right now aren't feeling it, but let's revisit this, of course, when we get to late winter and we need the boys of summer showing up at spring training to make us feel better. All right, that is it for us today. But Bart, a big Football Friday coming tomorrow with Bart Stradamus. I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.